So if you'd like to open your Bibles to Daniel chapter 7, and if you'd like to be ready to participate in reading and sharing God's word. But while you're opening your Bibles, I wonder if you have ever had a nightmare. I wonder if you've ever woken from a deep sleep to be frozen with fear about something that you've dreamt about. And feel free to share after coffee if you want to get it off your chest. But it's true that nightmares are more common among children, but one out of every two adults has nightmares on occasion. And between 2% and 8% of the adult population is plagued by nightmares. It could be that in your nightmares, you may relive an experience of a traumatic event of your life. And the subjects of nightmares vary from person to person, but there are some common nightmares, like not being able to run fast enough to outrun danger, to escape danger, or falling from a great height. I don't know if you've ever had that experience, but sometimes that sensation feels pretty real, doesn't it, if you've had that? And for some, our nightmares really can feel real, especially with its strange clown phenomena catching the Western world. That's odd, isn't it? Well, for the last 2 weeks, we've looked at King Nebuchadnezzar's dreams. And a dream to me is a peaceful night's sleep, thinking about chocolate, and thinking about someone like Robbie Williams or David Beckham, and thinking about, I'm showing my age, I suppose, but thinking about them, either Robbie or David, doing the housework, while I sit eating chocolate without putting on weight. And that, for me, would be a dream. But a nightmare, on the other hand, is frightening. Danny's still getting over it. And this is what I'd say happened in Daniel chapter 7. We'll come back to the Bible, I think. So we'll commence looking at verses 1 to 7. Perhaps someone could read for us, please.
In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream, and visions passed through his mind as he was lying on his bed. He wrote down the substance of his dream. Daniel said, "In my dream at night, I looked, and there before me were the four winds of heaven, churning up the great sea. Four great beasts, each different from the others, came up out of the sea. The first was like a lion, and it had wings of an eagle. I watched until its wings were torn off, and it was lifted from the ground, so that it stood on 2 feet like a man, and the heart of a man was into it. And there, before me, was a second beast, which looked like a bear. It was raised up on one of the sides, and it had three ribs in its mouth between its teeth. It was told, 'Get up and eat your fill of flesh.' After that, I looked, and there before me was another beast, one that looked like a leopard, and on its back it had four wings, and like those of a bird. This beast had four heads, and it was given authority to rule. After that, in my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was a fourth beast, terrifying, frightening, and very powerful. It had large iron teeth. It crushed and devoured its victims and kept it underfoot, whatever was left. It was different from all the former beasts.
Thank you. So we have a lion, an eagle, a bear, beasts. We have a ram, ram's horns, and goat. So unless you're a zookeeper, I'd call that a bit of a nightmare, wouldn't you? I'd kind of call that chaos. And it could, feel to you as though you are journeying life through what seems like a nightmare at the moment. And we possibly can all identify with times in our lives when we have journeyed through nightmares. Yes, we can sometimes exaggerate when we say that that a particular experience feels like a nightmare. But I'm pretty sure that we can all identify with times in our lives where that's been our feeling. And it could, in fact, be your feeling right now. Well, there's a lot of symbolism in the nightmare that Daniel recounted. And there's a lot of detail we could go into. However, we look at verse 3. It says, four great beasts, each different from each other, came up out of the sea. Now, following the interpretation of the dream in later verses, these beasts are symbolic of four world empires. And the world empires that Daniel knew of were destructive and they were cruel. And the empires of the world today can be destructive and can be cruel. History tells us that. Now, unless you're a hermit living in a cave, you will know that the US presidential election is taking place this coming Tuesday on the 8th of November. And you might be breathing a sigh of relief that it will all soon be over, or you might be terrified because you realise that the choice of American peoples will impact the world, or you may indeed support Donald Trump, or I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. Or Hillary Clinton. Personally, I'd vote for Michelle Obama, even though she's not on the ballot form, and even though I'm not allowed to vote, I'd vote for her. But there's a lot of comment we could make on either candidate, but we won't. But my unpolitical, superficial comment is that they are 70 years old and 69 years old. And I guess many 69 or 70-year-olds might like to hang up their hat and put their gardening gloves on. So we're going to be positive people. And just thinking about that for a moment, let's not become old people before our time. There's a lot we can still do, and as they are proving. But okay, maybe God isn't calling you to become president or even to become American, so you can be. But he has still got a job for each of us to do. In just a few moments, we're going to be asked to complete the National Church Life Survey. And to be honest, I'm not sure how we can comment if we're not involved in church life, which doesn't happen just on a Sunday, of course, because as we're the scattered church, we are still the church. So let's get involved, because despite you feeling that you have nothing to offer, despite you not being a grade A Christian like everyone else here, that was a joke. Despite you suffering from the I've already tried that disease, God still has a purpose for you. And whether you're 69 or 70 or anything either side of that, because the kingdom of God becomes visible to others when we live it. So let's live at whatever age we are. And so back to Daniel chapter 7. Let's just consider verse 2 for a moment. It says, I, Daniel, saw a great storm. And to me, my mind goes back to the books of Matthew, Mark and Luke when Jesus calmed the storm when the disciples were in the boat. Do you remember that story? Matthew 8:26 says, then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. Do you recall that Jesus calmed the storm in that instance? But here in Daniel, we're reminded of the great cosmic calming of the storm of the world. So then why then are we fearful? Why then do we worry? Why do we not trust our cosmic God who calms, who brings peace, who brings calm? And so we think of the turmoil and chaos of the world today. And we think of the nations who like to exercise their apparent power. We think of the crazy antics of the US election. And we can't help but look back and think about the fear of 9/11 and even further back to times in the world which would have been dark and to times in the world where so-called superpowers and so-called super people exercise their power at the detriment of others. The people who like the fourth beast of verse 7, terrifying and frightening and very powerful. And then think of our own struggles amidst the chaos of our lives, amidst our own nightmares. And we think of the fear we have because of our own nightmares. We think of the fear of our own, of the chaos. And I think too of my own struggles. And so, with that in mind, from verse 9, we read, "As I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow. His clothing was as white as snow. His hair of his head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated and the books were opened." And then on to verse 13. "In my vision at night I looked, and there before me was the one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed." And so the dream was interpreted for Daniel, and we look at verses 23 to 27 if someone would like to read. 23 to 27. Thank you. So we and all the saints who have gone before us and all the saints who will come after may stand in complete confidence that Satan does not win. Satan has already lost. The ending has already been decided, and it's already been decided by Jesus. Jesus Christ has indeed already overcome the world. So yes, we may endure difficult times in what seems like a nightmare. But our beasts of the present world will not rule forever because God is still on the throne and he will remain there. God, through this passage, says, "I have an incredibly glorious future yet in store for you." He will free you from fear and from physical and spiritual bondage, and his kingdom will know no end. His kingdom is now. And today he can free us from fear and physical and spiritual bondage. If we were to look right through the Bible in Psalm 2, we can see the picture of the king and his coronation. Psalm 45, we'll see the king at his coronation. Psalm 110, we see the king take his throne. Isaiah 9, we see the king who rules. Zechariah 9 is the coronation of the coming king. Friends, they're just samples. The Old Testament is filled with the promises of God and the message of the coming of the king. And here in this vision of Daniel 7, we watch Christ being crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords prior to the time he gathers us up and comes back to the earth to establish his kingdom. And Revelation 19:11 says, it tells us that heaven was opened and a white horse came and he sat on it. It was faithful and true. He came just as this word in verse 16. And it says, and on his vesture and on his thigh written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the absolute monarch of his kingdom. He has authority over all. And he has authority even over all of your fears and mine. you'd like to just think about this just for a moment. Just allow this to sink into your heart. Tom Wright says, "You become like what you worship. When you gaze in awe, admiration and wonder at something or someone, you begin to take on something of the character of the object of your worship." Who do we worship? I'm going to repeat that again. You become like what you worship. When you gaze in awe, admiration and wonder at something or someone, you begin to take on something of the character of the object of your worship. Who is the object of your worship? When you're scattered, church, who is the object of your worship? Who is the object of my worship? Do we worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Do we worship only him? If we look at the last verse, verse 28 of 7, it says, "As for me, Daniel, my thoughts greatly terrified me, and my face turned pale, but I kept the matter in my mind." Now, I understand why Daniel wanted to keep this dream to himself, and you will too. If you've ever tried to recount one of your dreams to someone else, people think that you're a nutter. Or as I recounted one of mine this week to Stephen, his face said it all. Well, Daniel's contemporaries could surely have thought that Daniel was a nutter. But the thing is, we know the ending. We know the ending. We know that God is victor. And yet sometimes we are fearful of telling others that he has already got it covered. We're sometimes fearful that God can be totally trusted and that there is no fear in him. We can sometimes be fearful of telling others that he is more than conqueror, and yet we are fearful of telling that to others, even though we know it. We're fearful sometimes of telling to others that they need to know the ending, that others need to know to be given hope in Christ Jesus. We're sometimes fearful of that, aren't we? We're sometimes fearful of telling others about the promises of Christ the King. I wonder, do we need to ask for more courage in doing that? He can give that courage. I wonder too, are we sometimes meek in our message as a church too? You see, we've studied the Revelation churches together. We've decided not to be like them. So then what are we going to be like? And it's a good question to think about as we do the survey today. The question is not about our own Sunday preferences, but about what it is that God requires us to be. How are we living out being the good news in this community? How are we living out being the good news as we scatter from here? To finish, Tom Wright also wrote, "That is what worship is all about. It is the glad shout of praise that arises to God the Creator and God the Rescuer, from the creation that recognises its Maker, the creation that acknowledges the triumph of Jesus the Lamb." That is the question. That is the worship that is going on in heaven, in God's dimension all the time. So the question we ought to be asking is how best we might join in. May we ask what it is that God requires of us. Amen.